It's the longest series I think I've ever done. I know that there have been a few of my friends that have done series through the book of Genesis that's taken them 3 years. And that's a long time to be in one book. But to refresh your memory, at the beginning of our Who Am I series, we started down this road to look at 12 biblical truths, really to counter cultural attacks on our identity. What we often think about ourselves is determined by our culture, but we need to pause and look at what actually God says about us. And we learned the first four things about in regards to God's passion for me. We learned that I am known, I am uniquely designed, I am never alone, and I am loved. And we followed that with another 4 weeks discovering our position before God. We learned that we were broken. We spent actually 2 weeks on that. I am forgiven, I am secure, and I am set apart. And so we've already covered that. Now we're moving into the next 4 weeks, and we're going to explore God's plan for my life. And we're going to look at these four areas. I am made for community. I am meant to know God. I am designed for a purpose. And I'm here to share Jesus. Sometimes I think we really wrestle with all of this because our culture tells us sort of who we are and what we should be like. And we don't believe that God has designed us on purpose and for a purpose. And part of that purpose, God did not design us, and he never meant us to live in isolation. God's plan for us is to be in relationship with him and a part of a community of fellow believers. We're not meant to worship an unknown and unknowable God, and God has revealed who he is through his word so that we can know him personally. And just as he knows us and loves us, he wants us to know and love him. And likewise, God has created us to belong to a community of believers who care for, help, and encourage each other. And so meeting today, gathering today, I'm encouraging to remember that we are not simply a gathering of individuals, but we're a community. We're a family, and we're united in our love for Christ and our commitment to follow his teachings. And we are here not only to learn, but to love. Not only to receive, but to give. Not only to be filled, but to overflow with the grace and the love of our Savior. And so to dive into this, we need to go to a very, a very familiar passage in Acts chapter 2. I'd like to read it for you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, that passage, which is a very familiar passage, it really does sort of paint a beautiful picture of the early church. There's this community of believers, and they're deeply connected to each other and to God. They were devoted to learning from the apostles. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to breaking bread together and to prayer. They shared their lives and their resources just so generously. And they met daily in the temple courts and in their homes. And they praised God and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And their number grew daily as God added to those that were being saved. And so the church was thriving. It was growing. And that's the kind of community that we ought to strive to be, a community that builds relationships, a community that that builds encouragement and builds bridges beyond the Sunday services. And the question that I ask myself all the time is, how do we achieve this? How do we become a community that mirrors the early church in our love for each other and our devotion to God? There was a very famous preacher, his name was Charles Spurgeon. He once said this. He said, a church that does not exist to reclaim heathenism, to fight evil, to destroy error, to put down falsehood, a church that does not exist to take the side of the poor, to denounce injustice, and to hold up righteousness, is a church that has no right to be. And when I read words like that, I find them to be greatly challenging. And that's the challenge for us, to be a church that is active and engaged, a church that's not just a Sunday morning place of worship, but it's actually a force of good in this world. Now, because God's plan is for us to be in relationship with Him and part of a community of believers, I want to dive into this passage a little bit. And so my first point from this passage is that our community should be about building relationships. And so we need to understand that these relationships that we have are not something that is built overnight. They're not built through a single event or a single act of kindness. They're built actually through consistent, intentional effort. They're built through showing up for each other day after day, week after week, year after year. It's the long haul that we're in for it. That has been, for me, a super important point. And I have tried to model that in my own life in relationship to where I serve in the church. So many pastors don't make it past the 2.5 year mark. That's how long the average pastor stays in their first church. And we were just committed that when we serve in a church, we become part of a family. And the only way that you can really actively see change is by the long haul, through thick and thin. And that's what we're all about. We ought to be all about. Because when we're in it together, it is the shared experiences, the shared struggles, the shared victories that make us who we are. Our community, our fellowship here is built through laughter and tears, through celebrations and mourning, through the ups and downs of life. And it's important for us. Like this past week, I've gone from a wedding to a funeral. The highs and the lows. And that we need to do life together. But these relationships aren't built on the surface. They're not built like just through shared interests or shared hobbies. They're actually built on shared faith. They're built on this shared belief in Jesus, in His teachings, in His love. They're built on the shared commitment to follow Him and to live out His teachings, to love as He loved. They're built on the shared understanding that we are not just individuals, but we are a family, a body, a community. And these relationships that we're in, they're not built in isolation. They're not built in to keeping to ourselves, by keeping our faith private, by keeping our struggles and our victories to ourselves. They're built on actually the opposite. They're built on opening up our lives and sharing our lives and inviting others into our faith journey. And that means they're built on being vulnerable, being honest, being real with each other. They're built on showing others that we're not perfect, that we're not always strong, that we're not always right. They're built really by showing others that we're human, that we are broken, that we have been forgiven, that we're in need of grace. And lastly, these relationships aren't built by us alone. They're built by our efforts, they're not built by our efforts, our own strengths, our own wisdom. They're actually built by God, and they're built by His love, they're built by His grace, they're built by His Spirit. They're built by His power working in us and through us. They're built by His promises that where two or three are gathered in His name, He is there with them. And so as we strive to build these relationships, we need to understand that we are not alone, that we're actually a part of a community that we call DBBC. We're a family, we're a body. And that these relationships that we have with each other are not for ourselves, but for each other. You know, for me personally, I had a real joy yesterday, but it didn't come without struggle because we had the seniors over at our house. We had, I think there was 22 of us or 23 of us sitting on our deck. We had a barbecue together. Absolutely loved it. And I would do it every weekend, but then I go, no, that's too much work. I can't do it. I need a break. And so I wrestle with that. I wrestle with sharing my life, sharing the things that God has entrusted with me, and keep those for myself. But when I do it and I follow through and I'm obedient, the reward is absolutely amazing. And I wish more of you could come. You know, so if you're a senior, you're always invited. And, you know, and it's because we're living out our faith together. We're doing life together. We're learning about the teachings of Jesus, and we're living out the love of God. Because God's plan is for us to be in relationship with Him and a part of a community of believers. And so we need to share our lives with each other. Now, the second point that I want to share from this passage is that our community should be about building mutual care. In the early church, as we just read in Acts chapter 2, we see a vibrant, thriving community of believers. And this community was marked by a number of things. It was marked by a shared devotion to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread together, and to prayer. So they were not simply a group of individuals who happened to share the same belief. They were actually a body that they were interconnected, they were interdependent, and each member played a vital role in the health and the growth of the whole church. And this idea of the church being a body is not unique to Acts chapter 2. In fact, it is a recurring theme throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul in particular often used the metaphor of a body to describe the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, he said, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, that word body that was in this passage is translated from a Greek word, a Greek word, soma. Now, soma carries connotations of wholeness and unity. And it is used to refer to not just a physical body, but a collective body, such as a body of citizens or a body of believers. And in the context of the church, soma emphasizes the interconnectedness and the interdependence of all its members. And that interconnectedness is evident in the early church's practice of selling their possessions and giving to everyone who had need. They recognized that they weren't just individuals, but they belonged to a larger body. And when one part of the body was in need, the whole body responded. Now, the writer of Acts, who is believed to be Luke, was a close companion of Paul. And he would have been very familiar with this metaphor of the church as a body. In his gospel, Luke also emphasized the importance of community and mutual care among believers. In fact, in Luke 6:38, he recorded Jesus' words. Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So returning to our main passage in Act 2, we see the same spirit of mutual care and generosity. The believers, they met together constantly. They shared everything they have. They weren't just a community, but they were a body, and each one of them contributed to the health and the growth of the whole. And that's the kind of community that we ought to strive to be, a community that is not just a gathering of individuals, but a body that's interconnected and interdependent, a community that's marked by a shared devotion to God's teachings, to fellowship, to breaking bread together, and to prayer, a community that is generous in giving, joyful in fellowship, and persistent in prayer. A community like that, like the early church, is continually growing, not just in numbers, but in faith and in love. Because God's plan for us is to be in relationship with Him and part of a community like DBBC. And so my third point from this passage is that our community should all be about building bridges. And so as we sort of continue to reflect upon the life of the early church, I was drawn to the idea that we ought to be building bridges beyond our Sunday services. You know, and this is, it isn't about adding a new service. It's not about extending the hours of our service or, you know, adding new programs, you know, to the church calendar. But rather, it's about extending our reach, the reach of our faith, the reach of our love, the reach of our community, beyond the confines of a Sunday morning. It's about what we do the rest of the week. It's about living out our faith in our daily lives and our daily interactions with others. It's about being the church, not just going to church. I think we underestimate the power of relationships in the local church. And I think because it's an idea that we should not ignore, you know, because relationships are the lifeblood of any community, and church is no exception to that. You know, the early church, they understood that well. They just didn't gather for worship. They actually shared their lives with each other. They ate together. They prayed together. They learned together. They cared for each other. Their faith was not a solitary pursuit, but it was a shared journey. And so what does that mean for us? What is the challenge there for us? It means that we need to invest in our relationships within the church. We need to take the time to get to know each other, to support each other, to learn from each other, to love on each other, and to serve each other. We need to be intentional about building and nurturing these relationships, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. And we need to be the church, not just go to church or show up on Sunday mornings. And as we do this, we will not only enrich our lives, but also enhance the life of our church and extend our reach of faith and love. And so as we sort of finish off today, as I close, I want us to remember that we are called to be a reflection of God's love in this world. We're not just individuals who gather once a week in a building. We're a family. We're a community. We're bound together by the love of Christ. We will make mistakes. We extend grace and forgiveness. We do life together. And that love that is not meant to be contained within these four walls. It's not. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be spread, to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope in the world that so desperately needs it. We're called to be like the early church, to be devoted to God, to be devoted to each other, to be generous with what God has entrusted to us, and committed together to make a difference in the world. That's not always easy, because it requires sacrifice. It requires selflessness. But remember that we're not doing it on our own. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us, empowering us, working through us. And we have each other to encourage, support, and to love one another on the journey that we share. Let's pray. Father, as we prepare to